Hello, welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast. We're back in a big, big way here on SummerSlam week. I'm sitting here with my awesome comedian guest, Vince Averill. How you doing?
Good, man. Thank you.
Host of the We Watch Wrestling podcast.
Good to be here.
So we're going to get some plugs out of the way right now, and then we're going to get into the hot, hot wrestling action. This Friday at UCB Franklin at midnight, we're having the annual UCB SummerSlam-tacular. Now, there's still some tickets available. This show is going to be dope. I'm hosting the show as Hulk Hogan, like I always do, apologizing for my racism.
Good Lord.
Maybe not apologize. Who knows?
You'll need to be there to find out.
Yeah, you'll need to know to find out. We got a bunch of other awesome sketches written about the current wrestling product. And also, we're going to have an actual professional wrestling match. Hot Young Briley is putting up his title, the WWUCB title, hard to say title, up against Lucha Underground's Judas Draven. And they're going to have an actual professional wrestling match on the tiny UCB Franklin stage, which they've assured me is doable.
I can't believe the Athletic Commission signed off on that.
I know. The UCB Athletic Commission. Look, they're lenient, okay? They're not checking.
That's been made clear.
And another thing, everyone on this show is on steroids, okay? We don't test. This show is juiced up to the gills. None of this USADA or whatever.
Something.
The Drug Administration.
No F drug that. Administration.
Our Brock Lesnar is going to be drugged up unapologetically.
Well, it's not an advantage when everybody can do it.
Yeah, exactly. They're all going to be there. We're going to have we got somebody doing Rusev. We got Roman Reigns. We got all the hits. John Cena is going to be there beating up a Make-A-Wish kid, I believe. It's going to be very fun.
Outrageous.
Check it out. You can get tickets on ucbtheater.com. Or you can find the details out on, I'll be on our Twitter at COW podcast. Vince, awesomely enough, people, they need more shows. You guys also have a show. The
that
We Watch Wrestling
night,
podcast has a show that same night.
They don't
earlier.
Conflict.
They don't conflict.
That's right. Ours is at 7:30 in Los Angeles at the Copper Still, live podcast recording, stand-up comedy, special guests, a lot of fun. Brownpapertickets.com. I think there are still some tickets available. There will probably be a couple at the door. But give it a shot. Come on out and see us Friday night at the Copper Still in Los Angeles. It should be a great time. I'm sure it will be.
It will be an awesome time.
Yeah.
I'm hopefully going to check it out. I just have my parents in town. And,
bring them along.
I'm going to try. I'm always torturing people in my life, my loved ones, with professional wrestling.
I'm like hazing them,
forcing them to be around the culture. Look at my terrible t-shirts.
You're trying to teach them.
Yeah. Before we get into stuff, I have a new segment I would like to start the show with, which is called "What Are You Wearing?" Similar to the red carpet, you know, the Joan Rivers of the world being like, "Hey, what are you wearing?" I'm going to show up to every podcast recording wearing a wrestling shirt.
Okay,
and then I'm going to have my guests ask me, "What are you wearing?" And then I'm going to describe which wrestling shirt I'm wearing.
So Vince,
you're the first guy to do it.
First time it's been done.
Yeah, the first guy. So I'm going to pretend I'm walking by you. I'm glammed up.
Yeah, well, which you are, but you're not walking.
You gotta call me down. I'm walking the red carpet, and you're a peon who needs to hear what I have to say.
Okay, do I have to be a peon in this situation?
I think Dan.
Yeah.
Oh, look at
real
peon.
Quick. Hey, can we just real quick, bud?
Fine. Hey, I'm here to promote my movie.
What are you wearing tonight?
What am I wearing? Oh, well, right now I'm wearing the first edition The Rock Under Armour t-shirt.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah, with the Brahma Bull on it, but especially it's more sharper edges than the actual tattoo. And
okay.
This is sold out. You can't get this. This
little
is
gold
to
on
start
charcoal.
His brand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a charcoal. It's a charcoal shirt. I think Dior had some say in it.
Must have. Well, all right,
I gotta go.
Hey, great talking
and
to you.
And scene, that's the end of the first ever What Are You Wearing segment. Vince, how did it go? Should I cut it?
Jury's out on that one.
We'll see what the fans say.
Yeah.
You can rate and subscribe to the podcast. Give us 5 stars and then talk shit about that segment and we'll read it. Cool. Hey, SummerSlam is now. Man, we're all gonna die because I feel like last year's SummerSlam felt like it was yesterday.
It is, yeah. It's right back upon us here, but the card is pretty fucking sweet, man.
The card is awesome. I'm like very excited for this card. I was thinking about the last SummerSlam that I was talking about, which was Undertaker, Brock Lesnar, right? Wasn't that the last SummerSlam? Was that when they had the terrible finish, the tap out?
The tap that they didn't see or whatever?
Or did you like that finish? I don't want to
remember. I feel like in the moment I had some issue with it. Subsequently, I haven't thought about it at all.
Me either. It was like oddly forgettable. So that's even worse for that finish, that it's not even like controversial in your brain. It's just a nothing. It was such a
blah. It was just a waste of a match. But this year, though, man, it looks work rate wise, it's a great time to be alive, man. There's a lot of good wrestling, I think, for Sunday.
I think so. I think it's really exciting. I think actually, I can't think of a card that has this many matches I've cared about in a long time.
Yeah.
Like the two title matches I'm very pumped for. Lesnar Orton, they somehow convinced me, is a cool match through like awesome packaging.
Well, I think the thing about that match is just that Orton legitimately is kind of fragile. He's had enough issues with his clavicles and shoulders.
Right.
And Brock is not an easy night of work. So Randy might just get both his arms torn off or need two steel rods. So the interesting thing to me there is that Brock might kill him.
Yeah, Orton is definitely at a place where like any match could be his last match.
And he might be fine with it.
Yeah.
Too.
I think Cena's also one injury away from retirement. Like the next injury he gets, I don't know,
because I think he's a guy who he's got some exemptions in his life, and so he seems to come back from injuries very quickly.
Oh yeah. I like how we all just go like, no, he's just John Cena, man. Like this no.
If you read their wellness policy, not everyone has to take a piss.
Is that true?
That is absolutely true.
So, wait, Vince, we're jumping into everything. It's awesome. But, Vince, you know everything. Like, on your podcast, they call you the professional wrestling encyclopedia.
That's right. Sure. Yeah.
So, how did you. And we're going to Tarantino this, right? We're going to get back. Okay. We're going to get back right into John Cena not being exempt from the WWE wellness policy. But I want to know, like, how do you get the label of wrestling encyclopedia? I always refer to myself as, people come to me all the time asking me about wrestling, and I'm like, I'm not a wrestling historian. I'm a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty marquee dude.
Sure.
You know? Or I think people think I have, like, the knowledge you have, and I'm not even close.
Well, I think you might surprise yourself, but
First of all,
I'm an older gentleman.
Yeah.
And so I went to my first match in 1985.
That makes it sound like you're 75 years old.
Because you're 47, right? So yeah, I've got to be.
You're like, I'm an older gentleman. Nah.
But I just mean, I've been around a little while. Yeah. My first match I went to was in 85, a house show in Detroit. It was Hogan and Steamboat versus Don Morocco and Mr. Fuji in the main event.
Yeah.
And then I just never stopped paying attention. And then.
Your whole life.
Right. And at a certain point, I got, there were times where I would wane a little bit, but I sort of, I started to learn about the insider shit pretty early on, like the newsletters and stuff.
The sheets.
Yeah.
Was a time where they were physical sheets being mailed to you?
I was getting sheets mailed to me well into the 2000s, when I still lived in Brooklyn. And then it kind of finally went online at a certain point. But like, so you would get the Observer newsletter, which would be about 30,000 words in like 8-point font back to back, you know, every week. But so even when my interest waned as far as watching, and it wasn't like now where there's like 18 hours of content every week on TV, you had like Raw that was, or before Superstars, like an hour on Saturday, hour on Sunday, maybe pay-per-view once every quarter. Anyway, so, but because I wasn't watching every single week my entire life, but because I knew about the inside shit, I would still know what was going on. I would still keep track. So anyway, if you just do that forever and you get real rabid at certain points, like when ECW came around and stuff like that, then I don't know. It's just a thing that I
But also, you know a lot about outside of WWE. Like I can hold my own, you know, in all the all the professional wrestling game shows that exist,
sure,
where you get all your trivia knowledge. And I'm like, but hold your own is actually a funny thing, because it does feel like when you speak about wrestling, it does feel like a knowledge off.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about? That thing where
of
like
course.
Everyone's trying to, out each other on expertise and knowledge.
That's
and
no fun
behind the scenes. It is no fun.
It's no fun.
Cause I pride myself on, we have fun in here. You know?
I pull way back when those conversations start. I don't like to sort of sit there and try to piss on each other and see who, you know.
Yeah. It's like who knows more and just being like, actually like a little bit of that nerd stuff. But you watch a lot of stuff that's outside of WWE.
Definitely.
And I think, is it fair to say you watch more independent wrestling than WWE or no?
No. I mean, I watch a great deal of Japanese just because it's super easy now as well.
I just got a password to NJPW.
Well, then your life's about to change if you want it to. But again, it's a tax on your family, you know, when you got to be like, hey, listen, it's the G1 final, sweetheart. We can't go out tonight.
Yeah. Okada's wrestling at 4 a.m.
But so I watch a lot of Japanese. I do pay attention to independence, but that's not like a regular TV show type of thing. There are things. But there's so much content in WWE. I don't think it would be pretty difficult to actually watch more of that.
Right.
But I do. I watch a lot of stuff from all over the place.
But you and McCarthy are like front row at every PWG.
Definitely. Ring of Honor, whenever it's like close, although they're also in Las Vegas on Friday night, which is where I would be if I didn't have our show, which is where you should be at our show. But you know.
Yeah, of course. And then at my show.
And then at your show. Don't go to Las Vegas for the Ring of Honor.
Yeah, you got NXT Saturday.
Yeah.
You got,
and Evolve. There's two Evolve shows over the weekend.
Exactly. There's enough
all kinds of
actual
stuff.
Wrestling happening where you should come Friday, open the doors to a ridiculous, degenerate weekend of watching wrestling with a little comedy.
Yes. It'll be a little hors d'oeuvre for you. And then Saturday and Sunday, you can really just hunker down and not leave your home.
Yeah. Cool. So, but like... wow. The independent scene is like thriving in a way that I feel like from what I watch when I go in on YouTube polls and like watching NJ, like New Japan stuff. Although I consider that independent, even though it's not independent at all. Yeah. I just consider anything outside of WWE. I just label it independent.
Yeah.
Ring of Honor, TNA. And I've even been paying attention to TNA stuff. It starts being there's such an overwhelming amount of content.
Well, but the thing is, there's a renaissance happening, I think, in wrestling in general, because what you had was, for a long time, up until the late 90s, the independent wrestling was mostly like a guy, like old guys who were out of WWF or out of WCW.
Right.
And then
like Jake the Snake.
It became a lot more about these young guys in this class that, like, you know, Daniel Bryan was in, and a lot of those guys started out, and then Ring of Honor started in. And these independents sort of began, and you have what they have now, which are like incredible talents who forever, like, you know, seeing those guys in New York and wherever, I would be like, oh, well, these guys are incredible. They'll never be in WWE.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you started to see, you know, Punk goes and Daniel Bryan goes. And now we're at a point where there's this fucking Cruiserweight Classic and the indies are thriving.
Yeah. They're trying to sign a guy like Zack Sabre Jr. who's built like someone Vince would literally just walk over if he saw
and
him
works
in front
a
of
style
him.
That is completely different. Not that they won't try to make them work the WWE style, because that's just what they do. Yeah. But it's
Sabre Jr. is the smarkiest in ring technician.
Well, like, I mean, he just wrestles a British style. It's just it's like a map based, you know, sort of move for move technical thing.
Yeah. Although in the Cruiserweight Classic, they framed it really well. They called him an escapologist.
Right.
Where I was like, oh, that's a good way for people to ingest this. And then like Moro would show every time he would counter a move.
Yeah.
He's like every move. He could turn every move into a different move that is in his favor.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was like, oh, then it works. But I'm saying when I watch all the clips online, I'm like, I can't imagine selling this guy to my friends who want to see Triple H,
right?
You know, who want to see DX and stuff, the casual fan.
Yeah. But I mean, I think it's great that they're now, and I think it's slowly like Triple H's influence, obviously, but they're slowly starting to try to have everything. Cause then if you have everything, then the wrestling fan needs to not go anywhere else. They can get their DX or whatever you want to call that part of it. They can get their, you know, the wrestling that's presented as sport and is more technical and has the high flyer or whatever.
Yeah.
If they begin to have everything, then You don't need to go anywhere else. And then that's what they maybe want to do.
Wrestling is amazing right now. You said it's like a great time to be alive. I feel like we're in this place where you nailed it. It's like WWE is starting to offer everything and they have the network. And it's like, so there's big money behind all kinds of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, they've signed like a big portion of the club at of Bullet Club at this point. Like, you know, WWE is getting cool, and Triple H has an eye for independent wrestling, whatever shit people want to talk about Triple H. So it is very exciting.
But even if there's a network that you can watch whatever you want at any time, and then there's also a similar for New Japan. It's like you used to just have to sit there and wait for Saturday, you know, or you used to have to, like, you know, you could watch Raw and then hopefully get some tapes of the All Japan show or whatever. And now it's like, I mean, it's the internet. But still, it's manifested in a way where it's just like, if you're into wrestling, you don't even have enough time to watch everything.
It's crazy. Even on this podcast, they make SmackDown now Monday. So we got Raw on Monday. Then now SmackDown is a live show also that's relevant. That's not just a half-baked rehash of Raw. And I'm like, oh, man, I gotta get in there on Wednesday and I have to watch it. I was shooting all day yesterday. I shot a 14-hour day yesterday.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, so I got home. I did a 14. Listen, this is what I do for you people. Okay. 14-hour day of shooting. I go do stand up. Then I sit up. I literally drink a Red Bull before my stand up show so I could stay up watching Raw and SmackDown before I go to sleep. And then I even feel guilty that I haven't touched the Cruiserweight Classic the last episode. Lie. I saw the last Cruiserweight Classic episode. I just didn't even remember because I was half sleeping when I watched it. Because I'm watching wrestling at like 4 a.m. all the time. Yeah. My wife goes to sleep. I'm like, all right, now I can catch up.
Yeah. Dedicated, man.
So what happens? Is that do you think the future will become like, I'm a Raw guy, you're a SmackDown guy? Because like, there's only so much content you consume. Can it be like, I only watch Raw because even though SmackDown's equally as good of a show, although I argue right now SmackDown's a better show than Raw.
Well, I think that they always present, even though, you know, they've done this little thing here now where it's gone live and that, they always present Raw as the A show, as the show you need to see to know what's going on. And so I don't think that will ever not be the case. Like, Raw will always be the show that draws the most viewers, that will be the flagship show. I mean, there'll be folks who are like, ah, you know what, I'm now just watching SmackDown, but it won't be the majority.
You can't ever, they're not even going for that either. They're not going for like, stop watching Raw, choose, they're not doing like a Twilight, like I'm team Edward or team, they're not going for that because Raw has most of the things you need to see.
But the other thing is, like, the amount of people that are like you or I, or maybe most of the people who are listening to us now, are not the majority of the people who watch that show. And so, you know, the best thing to do is when you go to one of those arena shows and you see the people, like, these are people who they're like, oh yeah, I watch Raw and you know, this guy's fighting this guy. They're not going on the internet after to find out what's really happening. They're not doing any of that.
Buying Roman Reigns t-shirts.
They're not like, Tuesday I got to block off some time. No, it's just like, I watch wrestling on Mondays. It's cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so, I think even the company gets a little lost in that sometimes. Like when something gets leaked and then they change it because it got leaked, it's like the amount of people who actually knew.
Right.
I just don't think is as many as they want to think it is at times, you know?
Cool. I want to hit two things before, and I have so many more things to ask you, but we'll get you back in here because you have a brain I need to pick. But you mentioned that when you were coming up and going to Ring of Honor shows, mm-hmm. this was probably back when you were in New York watching like Daniel Bryan, and Punk, right? All these guys, and you mentioned like you could never see them going to WWE, but like when you watch it, did you feel like that was the future of wrestling when you were watching it? Like, I can't believe how ahead of the curve you are there. Like, I don't think, look, I love myself. I think I'm a cool guy, but I don't think that I would have been able to watch those guys and be like, this guy's going to headline WrestleMania 30. This guy's going to get on the microphone and make The Rock look bad.
Right.
You know,
I wasn't thinking that, but I was thinking this is the best wrestling. Like, I would go to those shows, like in the Manhattan Center or whatever. And during the show, they would make an announcement. Okay, the next show is this date and you can buy the tickets now. I would just fucking run directly down and buy my ticket for the next show. That was the hottest thing happening for me by far. Like, WWE was fine. But like Ring of Honor, when they came at that time, when they had Daniel Bryan, they had Chris Hero, they had Claudio, yeah. Cesaro.
Yeah.
They were bringing in Hideo Itami, right? He was coming over.
Hideo?
They would bring Japanese guys in. There were all kinds of Kevin Owens, Generico, Sami Zayn. But my thought the whole time was just like, even like Cesaro at that point had already gone and come back. And so it was just like, even the guys who seem like they're tall enough or have the right muscles for some reason just aren't making it there. And I think part of it was, it still seemed like they were signing, which they still do a little bit. They'll sign like, you know, a failed football player, or they'll go to a bodybuilding competition and then be like, now we can make this person who we want them to be. Even if they're not the best wrestler in the world, we can just like teach them to do exactly what we want them to do. But then that just, it just changed. And slowly, like, now all those guys have gone up there and had far more success than I could have ever imagined, even in like 2006.
Right. And those guys are amazing. And I feel like I wouldn't have been able to predict how great they are. And that brings me to my next thing, which is, how come I don't like Shinsuke Nakamura? Like, what? Like, McCarthy at the last PWG event, I was like, yeah, I don't know, I'm not really sold on him. He walked away from me. He was pretty fucked up. And he, like, walked away.
You don't say.
He was like, he, like, couldn't even handle it.
And
he
I
was
only
like,
say that because PWG, there's a lot of beer that gets drunk.
No. Everyone was. But, like, he doesn't have a problem. I'm not saying that. No. But Shinsuke, like, I watch him, and I'm going online watching his clips, and everyone's like, super sold on him.
Yeah.
I looked at a list the other day that was a list of 100 best wrestlers. He's number one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on, I surely will be able to recognize a guy who's the number one wrestler in the world.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I always say is subjective art form.
Yes. Right?
So it's like, that's someone's opinion. It's not your opinion. It's fine. The things that I think make him, set him apart is, that he has so much charisma, and he can, without saying anything, tell you exactly like who he is and what he's about. And even when Matt and I first saw him, it was back in New York. New Japan came over and did some shows with this company called Jersey All Pro. And he wasn't completely where he is now, but he had started to do this thing where he kind of came out and it was just like, he didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And it was so clear that he didn't give a fuck. And it was done so well that at that point, which was probably like, maybe 9 or 10, we were like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And then from there, he's just become this, like, you know, I don't even know what the fuck he is now, but it's like, it's just super entertaining. But the work is also like at a real high level. The shit that he does is so snug, and he doesn't hurt anybody.
Right.
And I think, so, but again, if it's not your thing, it's not your thing.
No, I think like you hit on something interesting. It's like, I see the potential. It's not like I don't see the potential, but he's a guy who everyone is like, he's there. And to me, I'm like, oh, he needs like something. Like, I'm not saying he needs Paul Heyman, but he needs something where it's like Brock Lesnar works because of Paul Heyman.
Well, okay. So you have New Japan World now.
Yes.
Just go and watch any of his Tokyo Dome matches, any Kingdom match you 10. See that he's wrestled in the Tokyo Dome, just watch at least three of those.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk again and Fine. See if it does anything for you.
Yeah. It's like something about his, and I watch like his in ring ability. I'm liking some of the stuff he's doing with Joe. I like his like kind of thing that's hits on a kind of stereotypical Asian, like when he's kind of laughing and not saying anything, and then he just like slaps him really like Joe's like being held back by every referee, and then he puts his hand in his face and then laughs. I enjoy all that stuff, and it's definitely the best version of that I've seen, because it's kind of like Asuka does a similar thing. Mm-hmm. Like the Asian wrestlers, it's Japanese wrestlers, like they specifically Japanese. I don't want to be like the Asian. That's,
now hold on.
I'm sensitive. I'm a progressive guy.
Be careful.
Zig knows. But he's the best version of that. It's just, I'm not totally sold. Like, can this get over on the main card, on the main show? And I don't know, but it's cool.
Well, he does speak some English.
That's the other thing. When I saw him speak English, I also dug it. And I was like, oh, he should speak more English. But does he just not want to?
I don't know. Because even in Japan, he didn't do a lot of talking, but they don't do as much outside of sort of like a press conference format. But anyway. What about his match with Sami Zayn on WrestleMania weekend?
That I was there.
Did it do anything for you?
I was there in Dallas. Like, eh, I was sitting in very uncomfortable seats, by the way. That arena is terrible.
Uh-oh.
I hope they never do anything there. Because we bought floor seats. They were like they were like $500. They were stupid expensive. Oh boy. But it was my bachelor party weekend. So my friends were like, we're doing it.
Yeah.
And we went to Mania for that. And the seats were like, I don't know how to describe this correctly, but it's like, you know when floor seats are wrapped around? Floor seats.
Yeah, Dan's getting very excited.
Yeah, I had a microphone malfunction. You know, floor seats are wrapped around a ring.
Yep.
So like you have the ones that are by the ring post and those should go diagonal to face the ring.
Yes.
Those ones still went straight like they were on the side of the ring. So I was like facing not the ring. I was facing the ring if I was 20 feet over.
Okay.
So I'm turning my body. So imagine a whole row of people all on an angle.
It's no good. It's no good.
Yeah.
I stay away. I mean, in all my years, I stay away from the floor if I'm not in the first. It just depends, too, because sometimes those rows are so long that you do end up way out on the end.
Yeah, we better off in the 100 ring.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's fine. Our Mania
teeth. But I'll say it because a lot of times I go to shows and I see people on the floor and it's very clear they've never been to a show before. And they're just like, oh, 16th row on the floor. I'm on the floor. It's like, no, you're fucked.
No, because you're flat. Yeah.
You're fucked.
It was bad. But this was,
in the lower bowl.
Far back. That's how I describe it. Because like I know enough for that.
Yeah.
But this I could never be prepared for. This was uncharted territory of facing the crowd instead of the ring.
Oh.
But anyway, the Shinsuke match, I did rewatch it, and I was like, it's okay. More blown away by Zayn. Like, I was more impressed by Zayn. And all the other guys who came out. Anyway, I'll be sold on him. I know I'm going to be wrong. That's what I'm saying right now here.
But also, when you see somebody and you think somebody had a great match, go back and make sure that it doesn't have at least some part to do with the person that they were wrestling.
It is a delicate dance of two men.
Yeah,
sure. Or
delicate.
Two women. Or sometimes a man and a woman
in
the more progressive
dance
outside the WWE ring. Anyway, all right, cool. Well, we'll talk more indie wrestling on a future episode.
Because
we have to focus on the biggest party of the summer.
Please.
Yeah, that they've brought to Brooklyn just to screw us over.
Yeah, I'm happy for it, man.
I moved here. 6 SummerSlams in a row were in Staples Center. I move here. They go back to New York.
I caught the last 2. One or two before they took it away from us.
Yeah. Ugh. Annoying. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, Raw and SmackDown, look, we can get into Raw. I thought Raw was pretty bad this week.
Raw was not great, and Raw, to me, didn't do a whole lot to hype Sunday. So go home. You should be, like, really fucking doing the final little things to get you fired up, and instead, they gave away Rusev and Roman, but did it in a way where it was like, we just want to make sure you know that Rusev has a chance on Sunday. But if you pay attention, what they really told you is Rusev has no chance.
Really?
He has no chance. When somebody, if you go and you look, the way WWE does things a lot of the time,
right?
The guy who ends up on his back the show before the pay-per-view ends up on top at the pay-per-view. So Rusev got his shit in on Monday.
Yeah.
And so it was like, I think to the person who doesn't pay attention, it was like, oh, wow, Rusev has a chance against Roman Reigns.
Yeah, but
not really.
But Vince, then Roman Reigns pinned him at the end of Raw. They had a match at the end of Raw.
Wait a minute. After the show.
So here's something that's happening.
It doesn't matter. They send the crowd home happy. What matters is what's on the camera. That's all that matters.
No, this was on the camera. I'm saying that at the end. Zig, you look it up.
Rusev got pinned?
Yeah, because they did a match for Lana's honor.
No, I remember. That's what I thought.
And then
Rusev
won clean.
I thought Rusev got him. Anyway.
Rusev, if you walked away for a second.
Encyclopedia my ass.
Yeah. Disproving you. No. Because I thought the same thing. All right, so what's happening since the draft is now they're all getting multiple segments on Raw and SmackDown. So you're like, in your head, you're like, oh, here's the, they always just was like, okay, John Cena, AJ Styles feud, they get one segment. But now, like, last week, Cesaro wrestled 2 times. Like, the Rusev thing, it happened last week. They visited it 2 times. So I saw it differently. I saw Roman Reigns pin Rusev.
Yeah.
And I was like, they're just showing you Roman Reigns is still good before they have Rusev get a big win at SummerSlam.
But Rusev spent a lot of that match, getting it heat on him, right? I mean, wasn't Rusev, he got most of the shit in on that one.
Rusev had him in the accolade. And it looked like Roman Reigns was going to do the thing where he just passes out, like the Stone Cold.
Yes.
And like doesn't tap, but just goes to sleep.
Yes.
But then he somehow got to the ropes and then he got a spear and he won. Huh. Yeah. So I think Rusev might win. But also, Raw, whatever. I thought
not a great show overall.
No, and I thought, why show Finn as the demon on Raw?
So I've already talked to like five people who said the exact same thing, and I agree. I feel like they could have done something because they obviously want to do something a little physical, right? Because the only two guys they've really kept apart are Randy and Brock. And so you don't want to do that with every match on the card. Like those two touched each other just to do a finisher, but they haven't really done anything, right?
Yeah.
So you don't want to do it with everybody. So I understand that. But if you wanted to actually still do something physical with Rollins and Balor, just don't have him put the makeup on yet. Just save that. But
or if you want to tease it, well, I guess this contradicts your point, but if you could do a Sting thing, if you want to show the demon to the casual fan who doesn't watch NXT,
doesn't know what
and
it is,
like,
right?
What are they talking about, the demon? Because I don't even like the demon on the poster.
Yeah.
Like, he's in the poster, he's wearing the full Rasta demon gear,
yeah.
Which I hate the hat, by the way. Yeah.
Well, here's my controversy. You want to talk about Nakamura. I love Finn Balor. I love his work. I don't give a shit about the demon. I'm the one guy who doesn't really like the demon entrance. I'm not super into the demon, personally.
Okay, so I'm not a big Finn Balor fan. I recognize why he's a guy who deserves a push.
Mm-hmm.
I recognize that people love him. I'll go even a step further. I'm not a big fan of his in-ring work. I think he doesn't have one move that excites me. He doesn't have one signature move that I dig. Maybe the Sling Blade, but like they all do that. And Rollins does it also. But like the coup de grace, I don't dig that much. And he does this like a lot of drop kicks.
Yeah.
I don't know. He does flip to the outside, which he did. I think that's cool. But now at that point, everyone's doing that. Even Kevin Owens does that. Like they all
right.
do it. So I don't know. He needs something that excites me. But I'll say like the demon, I think it worked at Full Sail because it's a very short distance to the ring.
Yeah,
and they have the theatrics down, but in the big arena, the demon is a little bit like silly. It comes off like the boogeyman.
We'll see. Because we haven't seen it.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, we did see it. That's the thing. It's like they did it on Raw. He came out as the demon and fought him. I was like, they blew the whole mystery of that paint.
I think, yeah, I'm just interested. Maybe they have something real fucking sweet planned for Sunday. Yeah. That's the hope. But
they're saying that for the casual fan, like I'm thinking for the casual fan, they want to show you what the demon is so you get excited. Because he does look like Carnage, like from the comic books. Like,
yeah.
It does look cool, and he is like a comic book fan, whatever. It is cool, but I don't know. For him coming out as demon, I thought that's always pay-per-view. Like, yeah. I thought that's like, hey, he gets real fired up for the pay-per-views. But I think he was so weak on the mic.
Mm-hmm.
When they put him in the ring against Seth, he got slaughtered on the microphone that it was like, oh, shit. Maybe we have to keep him more ominous.
Yeah. Conversely, and not to jump ahead, but I thought SmackDown did a really good job of building to SummerSlam.
Ziggler-Ambrose?
The Ziggler-Ambrose in-ring promo back and forth was great.
Yeah.
They both fucking knocked it out of the park. I mean, the unfortunate thing, I think, is that Ziggler has been put in a position, and they even address it in the promo, but the fact remains that he just, even as much as they've tried to heat him up, he's just not... I don't think anyone's thinking like he's going over, he's going to win the belt,
which is 100% the reason to put him over.
Sure. I mean, I'm all for it. I love him. I love his work. But their promo in the ring was great. I also thought that the Cena AJ shit was good. And I think that match could steal the show.
That's the match I'm actually of the whole show. I think I'm the most excited about. And they did something smart, which is like the last pay-per-view. They're like, let's save it for SummerSlam. Like, they didn't do that with any of the other stuff. The Shield match could have been the main event of SummerSlam. I was like, I was glad they saved this one.
Yeah.
Because for Battleground, they used it. AJ Styles, I mean, he's the guy. I'm blown away by him.
And make no mistake, Cena is awesome too. And together,
Cena is
they
awesome.
They will fucking do something on Sunday. That's
John Cena
guaranteed.
Gets everybody over. It feels like now, even though he's known as a guy for burying people.
But he's also known for being a guy that can't wrestle, and that's bullshit too.
No, he's an awesome wrestler.
Yeah.
I trained wrestling for a little bit, like for this Funny or Die series I was doing that never got released. And I was training. I'm better off that it didn't get released because I'm still permanently damaged from one month of training. The guy who was training me would always rip on John Cena.
Huh.
Like if I mentioned John Cena, he'd be like, yeah, he's a good worker. Like sarcastically. And so in my brain from that, I always was like, yeah, you know what? John Cena is not a good worker. And then I was like, wait, no, he is good. He's awesome.
Yeah. No,
he had a great program with Kevin Owens. He had a great program with AJ.
That fucking Punk shit that he did. Like, you can't have that many great matches and have it be because every time the other guy carried you. It's just not what happened.
No, it's not true.
No.
But so that AJ Cena match, and we're jumping ahead, but that AJ needs that clean win.
Definitely.
If you want AJ Styles, I mean, look, he's already like 39 years old.
Well, but also he hasn't gotten really that. I mean, he has, but like, this is the stage and Cena doesn't need it. So let's have AJ.
Cena can always recover. We're always going to Cena can main event a WrestleMania if he lost every single match of the entire year.
Well, you look at Jericho. He spent years losing to everybody,
right.
Everybody. And it doesn't matter, because when you're a star like that for as long as those guys have been, and you have that much ability and skill, you're never gonna it's not like those are guys that they stopped and started. That's Ziggler's problem. They've stopped and started him to the point where the crowd is like, am I going to feel stupid if I get behind him this time?
Right.
And that's not going to happen with a guy like Cena. So, and he's in a position where he can help guys now. I mean, they're doing it with the Dudley Boys, which is a completely different thing.
Right.
But that's the Dudley Boys' role now, is to come out.
They just
and
put young
get,
guys over.
Get guys over.
They're in the Big Show spot. Kane, they never really commit to him being in that spot, but he is in there. Mark Henry, even Mark Henry, that's what really worked like 2 weeks ago, whatever, when they acknowledged that they were like, hey, he's a mentor talent, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, but I really think AJ needs to win that, because AJ, if he wins this match, could headline WrestleMania next year. Like, he could do big stuff if you push him.
Yes. I will say that whether he wins on Sunday or not, clean or not, he can still do those things, because it's just a decision. They haven't had enough time to really make the crowd sort of not care about him yet.
Yeah.
So if they keep him just levitating, they can always strap the rocket on him. You know, they can heat a guy up when they want to really do it.
Right.
I mean, better that they just put him over and start getting him going.
Right.
But I don't think it's like the death toll if he doesn't win on Sunday, even though I agree he should.
Well, I'm remembering that from Randy Orton. Like, I'm realizing it currently about like how they can just strap the rocket to a guy, like a guy with talent we know what they're capable of. If you can put the rocket on him and it will work. Like,
but he was also established as a star before. Orton. So you have to have been established as a top guy, which he was, you know, that's the problem.
That's the difference.
I always go back to Ziggler, but that's the problem. Like, even though he's had the title, it's still like, it's the way you have the title. And it's like Dean right now, you know, like he's got the title and where is he on the card? Like him and Ziggler, is that the third match from the top? Fourth match from the top?
I'm going to look at this right now.
In terms of interest or in terms of third. The way it's being promoted. Right. So it's like, you can look and say like, well, yeah, he's got the belt, but what kind of run has he had? Cause he's just kind of, you know, so it's,
I mean,
it's entertainment. And
are you
decide.
An Ambrose fan in general?
Definitely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't like him.
You don't like him either.
I mean, I don't dislike him is harsh, but like, you're not going to wrestle in jeans and a tank top and be. I'm never going to be into that.
He's a lunatic, Dan.
He's on the fringe.
He's
a lunatic fringe.
Yes. Jeggings.
Yeah, I think that. And also, did you watch his interview with Stone Cold?
Well, see, that I didn't like.
He was really unlikable.
He came off not very well on that. And I will say this. I do like Dean Ambrose, but I certainly have cooled off on him a little bit. When he was in the Shield, and even just after that, like he's so different, his reactions and the stuff he was doing, and he's had enough time where he's kind of come back to earth a little bit for me.
Yeah.
I still like the guy, but that Stone Cold interview was not good for me.
It wasn't good, but Dean Ambrose came off like very like just like weird and almost disrespectful.
Yes. Aloof and disrespectful would be the terms.
Disrespectful.
I would use.
It was like, he was like, thought he was hot shit. And it's like, yo, right now, like this is the show's over. This is you in front of, you're sitting in front of the best wrestler of all time, arguably.
Yeah.
So like, you know, show some respect. Isn't that what wrestling's all about? Though I will defend Dean for a second and say, I don't like Stone Cold encouraging him to like push himself harder on the podcast. I felt like that's a little embarrassing,
putting him on the spot and be like, "You, I need to see a little more out of you." But I think maybe he got to that point because of the way Dean had been.
I never really thought of it like that. That is, he's maybe like, he was annoyed by the way he was acting.
I think he definitely was. Now, whether he said that or not because of it, but I think he was definitely annoyed.
Yeah,
that was how it read to me, man.
He couldn't even like look in his eyes. He was like, "Oh yeah, man. Like, well, I was a bad kid. Like, I was a bad kid."
And like when that. He would like, yeah, because he's like, well, he was sort of, he came off as the guy who like had said something before that wasn't completely true. And Stone Cold was putting it on the spot because he was like, well, was there public housing or not? And he just wouldn't answer. And then the other thing that we talked about on We Watch Wrestling too was like that.
Don't plug your podcast.
Come on. Hey,
here.
Come on, man. They can listen to it too.
I already talked about a pop. This is my podcast. I can't be losing listeners.
No,
right?
You won't. You won't. Is that like. He would explain things like Stone Cold had no idea what the fuck he was talking about. And not in a way where he was like, in case the crowd.
He was condescending to Stone Cold.
In case the listeners don't know. That's not how it read. It was like he was being like, yeah, so this guy, Les Thatcher. It's like, motherfucker, Stone Cold knows Les Thatcher and has known Les Thatcher. And he wasn't saying it like, oh, you know, you can frame it in a way that's like, I'm just trying to make sure everybody knows what I'm talking about. That's not how it felt.
Yeah. It felt like he was just like, yo, here's how wrestling works, man.
Yeah.
It felt like that to Stone Cold Steve Austin. But I thought Stone Cold, the thing he said to him, and maybe it was because he was mad at him. The kind of thing he should have said to him in the back.
Yes.
Behind, not what during his title run on the network. but maybe he deserved it, whatever. And I don't know why he couldn't have just been like, why are you wearing this stupid tank top? Anyway, Ambrose for me is like, he was dope in the Shield. In the Shield, I was like, this guy is awesome. And then he's like dropped so far from me when he was like, I'm crazy. And then even now it's like, whatever. He cuts a decent promo, but I can't. And his in-ring work is, to me, horrible. I think he's like with Finn, I'm like, oh, I'm not into his in-work. And Shinsuke, that's a separate thing I'm talking about. I'm talking about like.
You actually think that Dean's not
those guys
that
are
good.
Great wrestlers and they just don't connect for me. Like, the storytelling wise or whatever. Where Dean Ambrose, I'm like, him and The Miz are the two guys that move like my dad in the ring. You know? Anyway. Well, let's talk the matches we talked about. Let's also give predictions and also what you think will happen. Like, fantasy booking. So, like, your prediction and then your fantasy
what
booking.
You'd like.
Like, what you'd like.
Okay.
So, like, we talked about Finn, Seth. I mean, that match is going to be awesome. Seth Rollins is the best guy in WWE.
Yeah.
I think I think Seth Rollins should win that. Because I think Finn, it's like, I don't know. Finn doesn't deserve to beat Seth Rollins right now. He's back. He's the guy who, when he comes out and he's not holding the title, especially this title nobody cares about yet, this universal title, put it on the guy that we all care about. You're going to put a new belt on a new guy, like who's dressed crazy. To me, it's like, it won't work. It's going to make the belt look bad. But who I think's going to win? I think Finn's going to win. I think they're pushing Finn all the way to the moon.
Well, I think Finn should win because if you're debuting a guy the way they are with him, you don't want to debut him to have him lose. Now, the other side of that is how he would lose because the program probably isn't over. Right. This program probably continues. So I think that Finn will probably win. It'll just depend on how that happens. And I think that's probably what should happen.
Cool. Ambrose Ziegler. I guess I started the pattern of me going first because I'm a gracious host that way. but I say that I think what will happen is Dean Ambrose clean win is what I think is going to happen, especially because I heard the rumor that they're setting up for Ambrose Styles. Like that's the feud they're very excited about from what I've heard. I don't know. You know, everything I hear is only 50% right. Cause it's just somebody pretending they know what they're talking about. But, I would say what I think should happen is Ziggler should happen. You need Ziggler to be good. Like, you need him to look strong. They're going to embarrass him. If he loses, it's like the last straw for him, I feel like. I think he'll even just quit.
Yeah. I think it's a tough one because they're both baby faces.
I think they're teasing Ziggler heel because of that kick on Raw, on SmackDown, which I thought was pretty dope.
Yeah.
I think they're also teasing a Bray Wyatt interrupt.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's another thing.
So I think what we might get is, I think Dean certainly retains, but there'll be some kind of interference that maybe, puts Ziggler onto Bray and that program begins from there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll see. And then we talked about Cena Styles. What do you think happens there? Well, I mean, we kind of talked about this already. I think, you know, I was saying that I think I'm going to say I think AJ will win, and I think AJ should win.
I agree.
Yeah.
I completely agree.
Dope.
For once. That'll be once.
For one. Yeah, for once in your miserable life. I'm a cat. Brock Lesnar or Brock, it says here Brock Lesnar with Paul Heyman versus Randy Orton. How does Paul Heyman factor into this match?
Well, I think they always do. Like, it probably says Rusev with Lana, right? I mean, it's whoever.
It does.
Who's being seconded?
Well, it says Rusev C with Lana. The fact that he's the champion is more important than who his manager is.
This is this one is the toughest call, I think. Because I just don't know what the plan is here.
I think Rusev is going to, I think he.
No, we're talking about Randy and Brock, right?
Oh, sorry.
Who's hosting this show?
Zig is.
Zig. Okay, cool.
Dope. This. Man, I was saying for months, well, since they announced it, since UFC 200 or whatever, I think that's when they announced it or right before that. I've been saying that Brock Lesnar wins this, no question. Like,
no question.
They're not going to have Randy Orton beat him, but they've built up Randy so much that, like, now, and they've established that the RKO is strong enough to take down Lesnar. And if they want to punish him for the steroid thing at all.
Well, the other side of it is like.
Or Conor McGregor interrupt.
Randy is just back. It's his first match.
Yeah.
He's a full time wrestler. Brock, we're not going to see him again until probably the Royal Rumble, I would guess. Maybe a Survivor Series, but there's a chance we don't see him until the first of the year. So it's like, again, it's how it's done.
And this rematch could be at WrestleMania.
It could be. But regardless, like, if Brock's going to lose, this is probably the time to do it. And again, it just depends on how it happens. Like, if Brock just fucks him over for 15 minutes, and then he catches with an RKO, or it's a little bit of a fluke. He slips on a banana peel. He doesn't look weak.
Yeah.
And then he goes away. It doesn't matter.
My buddy, Jason Shapiro, friend of the show, he wrote a great finish for this match. It's similar to what you said, except that the only difference is like Randy just gets squashed. And then Randy Orton hits an RKO, pins Brock for like a three Brock kicks out, like, but the three count happened, but he kicks out and Brock's like, what? Like, it's like, you know, where Brock's up, and then Brock still beats the shit out of him, but technically Randy won the match.
Sure. Yeah.
And I think if they do that, they should have the F5 turn into an RKO.
Okay.
Which seems very doable. Fireman's carry into a cutter seems doable.
Yeah. It's all about if Brock wants to.
Well, we've heard he's lazy because Ambrose like.
Well, I don't know about him being lazy, but I can certainly believe him being like, "Fuck you! I'm waiting for my check. Just meet me out there."
That's what he did to Ambrose.
So I can see him being that way. So if someone depends on who it is too.
Yeah.
If Vince McMahon says, "Hey, this is what I want," then he's probably a little more open to it.
Cool. All right, let's run through this. Rusev Reigns, Rusev C, with Lana. Versus Roman Reigns.
Well, after I found out what really happened on Monday, maybe the Bulgarian Brute goes over on Sunday. I'm fine with that.
I think it was made really obvious. Roman Reigns with a pin on Rusev. They establish he's still strong, but Rusev is doing great work. He's an awesome heel. He's great on the mic. I even saw a couple people I didn't even know who like I follow on Facebook randomly like posting about Rusev. He's in great shape. Her Lana in the wedding dress is awesome. She's going to keep wearing a wedding dress.
It's a
dress.
Great little duo, man.
Yeah.
And
I don't see any. And also Roman Reigns, why does he need the US title?
He doesn't.
Yeah. So it's Rusev. Sasha Banks versus Charlotte. We haven't spoken about the women.
I think Sasha wins again, retains.
Yeah. That's another thing. It's like, why this Sasha should have won the belt versus Charlotte here. I don't know why they did that.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. But I mean, this way she can cement it.
Dana Brooke is banned from ringside. Does that affect your choice here?
It makes me happier. I'm not a Dana Brooke fan. I'm fine with her not being out there.
No, she stinks. Dana Brooke stinks.
I don't like her.
Sasha's also like pretty bad on the mic. I think like her mic skills need a little work.
She was one who I thought was decent in NXT, but then has
no. I always kind of noticed it, but I think she always like she has a lot of charisma like in her energy, and so you're like, but then on the microphone, like even there, like when you win, what are you gonna do? She's like, I'm gonna party with like Jay-Z and stuff. I thought that was really corny. Like I'm gonna party with Jay-Z. I was like, oh, so you're like a
that's probably not her fault though.
Yeah,
well, the words that are coming out of her mouth might not be her fault. The way she
on
says
commentary
them,
though. She was on commentary saying that.
There's still somebody in her right. ear. I mean, who knows?
I'm going to party with Jay-Z. You're like, come on. Like, just because she's like.
Sounds like the old man.
Black.
He's like, who's a rapper? Somebody tell me who a rapper is.
Sounds like Vince, the big guy. Jay-Z.
I was going to party with. Not Snoop. Not her cousin Snoop.
New Day versus the Club.
Club takes the belts off of them.
And you think they should. I think Club, too. I think Club's doing. I love this ring postitis thing.
Club needs something. New Day doesn't need the belts.
They don't need the belt, and they don't have Big E, so they have a perfect excuse to lose. Like, Big E's injured. So, and they and the Club injured them. So, it's like, make them look real strong.
Yeah.
The Club's awesome. Those guys are proven guys in Japan, right? They're big-time guys. Like, let them give them the belts.
I'd hope Gallows might find some new gear, though. I hate those pants he wears.
He wears a little tight pants. He's covering up that terrible midriff. He's got a sloppy midriff.
There's better ways than those terrible pants. But anyway,
he looks like a guy in a Big Daddy Cool Halloween costume.
Yes,
like your fat dad.
He took the wig off for a little bit while he gets a punch.
Yeah, exactly. He got a little sweaty at the party, and he had to take the wig off because he felt a little lightheaded.
Yeah.
But he showed up thinking his costume was so fucking cool and funny.
And nobody knows. Well, who are you?
Yeah.
Diesel.
Like, I'm Diesel.
From,
oh, yeah.
From Ninja
Magic
Turtles?
Mike?
What are you talking about?
Magic. Yeah. But I like the Club. I think Carl Anderson is really good on the mic. And I think those vignettes they're doing, those doctor things, are funny.
Edgy.
Yeah.
A lot of innuendo.
Yeah. You know, the innuendo is the only part I don't like.
Yeah.
But I do think the idea of ring postitis, it's like they have a tag finish that fucks you up.
Yeah.
I dig it. Enzo and Cass versus Jericho and Owen.
That's going to be fun. That's going to be super fun.
That's going to be a cool match, I guess. I don't like Enzo and Cass that much anymore.
What happened?
I think Cass is horrendous on the mic, and Enzo is like just annoyed. Every time he comes out, I get like annoyed at this point. It's so much. It's too much. It's too much. He's trying to be like so funny. We're like, Jericho is amazing right now.
Yeah. I don't know. I think maybe probably one of those teams will implode on Sunday.
Enzo and Cass are going to win, and Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens are going to turn on each other. That's not like a long. That's just like, what do we do with these guys at pay-per-view?
Yeah, but I mean, I think that Vince, he's got ideas for Cass that he doesn't for Enzo. Yeah. So who knows?
Miz Cruz. Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah. I can't disagree.
Is that a pre-show?
I can't disagree.
IC match. Man, this is why I said make the IC belt the SmackDown belt.
Cesaro.
Sheamus?
Yeah, that's on there too, right?
Yeah.
That's a little more interesting. That's a best of seven.
And the first match starts here. That's interesting. I dig that.
Yeah.
I think,
I hope Cesaro wins all seven matches, but we'll see.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, whatever. The rest of this, who cares about? Yeah.
Is there more matches?
Yeah, there's Carmella, Becky Lynch, and Naomi versus Natalya and Ava Marie. Even though I like this Ava Marie thing where she doesn't wrestle.
She doesn't, yeah.
I think that's the best way to use her because she can't wrestle.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a card. I mean, it's an exciting SummerSlam.
It's
going to
be awesome. Yeah. And the NXT show the night before, it's going to be a great weekend, Dan.
It's going to be an exciting. This is going to be huge. People.
Huge.
Yeah. It's going to be a big weekend. I do a terrible Donald Trump.
Huge. But okay. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay.
Everyone goes into the Donald Trump. But I mean, I'm pretty excited for it. I think let's wrap it up here. Why don't you plug your show again, and then I'll plug my show.
We Watch Wrestling Podcast every Wednesday, 3:16 a.m., iTunes and everywhere podcasts are sold and given away for free. This Friday night, August 19th, Copperstill, Los Angeles, brownpapertickets.com, live podcast. The following Friday, the 26th, Wythe Hotel, Brooklyn, New York, brownpapertickets.com. Thank you very much for having me on here, dude.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Yeah, our show is also this Friday at midnight. Go check out their show and then
double
you come
up.
To our show. Double up, man. Have a full night. Our show is only $5 at midnight. And we're going to have a real professional wrestling match. We got some awesome, funny sketches. Broken Matt Hardy. He's doing something. We got
Brother
a bunch of goofs happening. And yeah, it's this Friday night at UCB Theater. You can get your tickets to UCB Summer Slamtacular. Rate and subscribe to the podcast. Give us 5 stars. Anything less is you're just being a jerk. Mm. So show some respect. Anyway, keep watching wrestling. Bye.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.